Welcome to Coffee with the Coaching Revolutionaries from the Coaching Revolution.
I'm Sarah Short, and I have with me the rather wonderful Elisa Barkan, who I interviewed in September last year. And when I interviewed Elisa, she was 5 sessions into her mentoring and was busy making a difference. She was busy building her coaching business. And I thought it might be really interesting to revisit her 6 months down the line, because today is an extremely special day for Elisa, isn't it?
Yes, hi. It is a very special day for me because today is the very first day when I am working full time in my business because I've just quit my corporate job.
Wow, congratulations. Well done. How do you feel?
Thank you. It feels good. I made sure that I had things planned for the day, so just to know that this is not me not doing anything. So it feels good. It feels busy. Yes.
Good. So can we just kind of revisit what kind of a corporate job did you have? Because I think this is quite significant because you were very time poor. So tell me about your job and about how you fitted your time in.
Yes. So the latest one that I had was I was a commercial analyst for a fairly big company. And that meant looking at their revenue, basically, for 6 main regions globally and their costs, and basically saying, okay, we're doing good or we're not doing good. Why is that happening? And kind of putting in place strategies to help the people in the field with whatever it is that they needed to get the job done. So I was part of the sales department. So obviously these people were very stretched in all directions. And my job was to bring them all together and say, do you know what your efforts have managed to gather at the end of the month? And where are you spending your time? Is it a good spend of your time? Is it a bad one? At the same time, we would look at costs and see whether they were being efficient at using the money that we were allocating for the type of activities they needed to do in order to get the sale done. So all that, and also preparing those reports in time for them to mean something for the people on the field, because if it's too late, then you can't really work to prevent anything else. You're just saying, oh, this is what happened in the past and that was it. So it was a pressure at work to just get things done in time so that they're relevant, and also to make people who were not finance people understand what it is that we're talking about and what that means in terms of for them as the person and for the company and so on. So yes, I was employed full-time, and this was a newish position which I've changed recently. So obviously I was learning about the company and about the new role and what was required of me and so on.
What you didn't say there is you're an accountant. Although you're
didn't say it, yes.
Numbers girl.
Yes, that's why they wanted me on the role, because I could understand the numbers, but I also had some commercial acumen that I could bring to the table, which, you know, other people might not. So yes, I'm a chartered accountant. But in the job, this is what I was doing.
So I'm just going to pick up on something you said there. You said you have commercial acumen. For the benefit of people listening to the podcast, it's not the same as business development skills, is it? The ones that we use in Revolution for your own business.
No, it's not the same. So having commercial acumen means, for example, from a company's point of view, to know what's the demand for the services that or the products that that company is offering, to be aware of the competitors in the market, to maybe think about reasons for the actions of your competitors. So if you've got a person who's new in the market, why is that? What's happening on a local level? to mean that you've got a new competitor now. Are you performing poorly? Is there a niche market that's kind of just appearing, which you weren't aware of? Or do they have some competitive advantage over you and so on? So although it's not the same as business development skills, you kind of have to have a little bit of commercial acumen in order for you to be able to then apply your business development skills. But they're separate things. Yes.
Okay, cool. So there you are working this incredibly pressured job, and it's a new job. So, you know, we all know that first 6 months in a new role just explodes your brain, even if you absolutely have all the skills you need for the job. Just the environment makes you, I always think it makes your brain like scrambled egg. How did you, because you didn't start this job till about October, did you? So when we last spoke, you hadn't yet started this new job, and yet you still went from having some clients to managing that job and creating a financially viable coaching business too. How did you manage to fit everything in?
I'm very intentional with my time. So I like to plan. I'm a planner. And therefore, everything that was important made it to my calendar. I made full use of my calendar to really have a look and see where are the best times and the best opportunities for me to leverage. So, for example, I would take my full lunch break, and in that hour, I would coach someone. So I had a few clients that were my lunchtime clients, and I didn't do it every day because I don't really like eating al desco all the time. But every other day or so, I would have a client at lunchtime. And again, when I came home in the evening, I would also allow time to eat and spend some time with my partner and so on. But I would schedule that in. So everything that was important made it to the calendar. Spending time with my partner, speaking to the parents and kind of catching up with them and with friends, everything went on the calendar, which meant that for me, I was trying to eliminate decision fatigue, basically. The more I had to wonder about, oh, what should I do now? Should I focus on this? Should I focus on that? Da, da, da. Next thing you know, half an hour is gone. Whilst as for me, it was really important on a Sunday to really have a look at my calendar and see how I can leverage that time. And, you know, it takes discipline and a lot of work, extra work, but it's really worth it because you know exactly what you need to do and you just do it. You don't waste time thinking about what is it that you can do. Because it's not just seeing clients. Building a business is also making sure that you go and see people and you let them know what you do and that you create content for your social media platform if you have one or for your website, and all of that has to happen around you seeing clients. So yes, that's how I did it. I think it's also important to mention that I really saw my partner as a true partner. I think Sheryl Sandberg says this in her book Lean In. She was talking about really seeing your partner as a true partner and splitting responsibilities with them. So in my case, my partner is wonderful and he would support me with the things that I had to do at home. He basically do them for me if he knew that I had a client or I had something else, a networking event to go to or whatever. So, you know, make use of all the resources, and that's how you can fit everything in if you want to.
So what I'm hearing here is that you got your diary so honed that all you had to do was show up.
Exactly, yeah. I didn't leave stuff to chance. I just don't like that because I know I'm responsible for the things that I want to create. And if I am responsible, then I'm going to take responsibility. And part of that responsibility is to know what it is that you need to do. Because if you keep wondering what to do, then of course you're not going to do anything. No. When you take some time to think about, okay, this is my priority now, what is it that I need to do in order to achieve that, then you can start thinking in a different way and actually doing things rather than worrying about not knowing what to do. Because we all know it.
Yes, we do. There's an interesting thing here. Paul refers to what you're describing as designated diary, using your diary, designated diary time. And Paul, the Paul I'm referring to, by the way, is Paul Snell, who is one of the Coaching Revolution mentors. But what's really interesting about what you've just said is if you look at the kind of people that you and I are, we couldn't be further apart in terms of our approach to things, our, in your case, incredibly organized, in my case, incredibly not. And our sort of like, the difference in our approaches to things, I think, is what I'm trying to say. And yet, I am the last person in the world who's likely to say, let me sit down and sort out my diary like that. And yet what I discovered is when I wanted this business to work, and I mean my business and the coaching revolution, that is exactly what I had to do. And so even though it doesn't fit my personality type, in inverted commas, to be that kind of disciplined and that kind of structured, because I'm one of those, oh, you know, let's just see what happens. And the problem is that somewhere down the line, you have to make a decision that goes, that for somebody like me, because you're already very organized, but somebody like me who isn't, you have to make a decision that says, what do I want more? Do I want a successful business, or do I want to feel like I'm not being tied down by a diary that tells me what to do? And the bottom line is what I wanted was a successful business. So I had to basically get out of my own way in a way that probably you didn't have to. And just say, well, do you know what? For this period of time, what's most important to me is this. And so that's what I'm going to do. And I suppose the reason that I'm even sharing this is because I'm aware that people will be listening to this podcast and thinking, oh, it's all right for you, Alyssa. You're a numbers person and you're very organized, clearly. And, you know, you do everything like in little neat boxes, but I'm not like that. I have scrambled egg brain all the time. And that's me. And so there is a choice in this, isn't there? And that's really what we're both saying.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't advocate to go and do this besides your personality, if you want, or against your personality, if that doesn't really resonate with you. But you can still incorporate some of that stuff and not have your calendar completely full, but maybe, you know, for 2 days a week, focus on something and really do that and have the, you know, the freedom, if you want, for the rest of the 3 days to just go with your gut feeling and be creative and whatever and see what works for you. For me, it works to have everything planned because, as I said, I don't like decision fatigue. And when you don't have a lot of time, for me, because I am such a planner, before I would start an activity, I would think, oh, I wonder how I should approach this, whether it's a good way or not. And it would take me about half an hour just to think about that. Mm. And when you come back from work and you have a client from 6:30 to 7:30, and then you write notes for another half an hour, and at 8:00, you start thinking, oh, now let's look at, I don't know, my content. Oh, should I do this? Should I do that? It just, by the time you know it, it's 9:00 and I also need to shower and do the other things that normal people do and then go to bed because I would wake up at 5:30. So, just my advice would be for them to use whatever it is that works for them, but to be willing to try new things and to not think about them as being constrained, but something that's going to take them to where they want to go.
Yeah, that's actually it in a nutshell, isn't it? That we have a choice. We can either view these things as something that is difficult and uncomfortable, or we can view them as something that we're willing to try we're willing to do. No such thing as try, is there? You either do or you don't. Or Yoda.
Yeah.
To say, right, okay, this might not be something that I felt was comfortable previously, but I'm going to make it comfortable. I'm going to enjoy the difference, the change, the thing, and let's see what happens. What I've done so far hasn't worked, so let's see if changing what I do and doing something different works better. Okay, so the coaching revolution, because hey, it's all about the coaching revolution. as this new person on this new day, this new part of your life, this Alyssa Barkan full-time coach, How do you see the coaching revolution supporting you going forwards? And how do you feel that the coaching revolution has supported you from when we last spoke to now?
Mm-hmm. I find that, we have this idea that I'm going to get clients and then all my problems will go away. And that's not true. You just get a different type of problem, in a sense that some of the clients might be more difficult, or they just don't get it, right? They don't understand what it is that you are trying to do, or they remind you of something which is very emotional. So, there's a different type of problem, which I don't know which one's better to have or not. I would say this is a good type of problem, but still something that you want to have people around you that you can discuss with. And, people who will understand what it is that you're going through because they have been through it before. So for me, I'm also a mentor. So the fact that I can speak to other people who are mentors themselves, and also with the mentees who have become successful themselves, and to be able to have this conversation about clients and about the practice of coaching, if you want, that's something that's really important. And it's also something that is, like coaching supervision is something that's required as a CPD for a coach. So for me, that was really important as well. So it's along the lines of having the community again, which I talked about last time. And that for me is really important, to have someone there that you can trust to give you advice from experience, not from just reading stuff in a book or I could go and read it myself, but I want to know from a person who's done it, how is it that you dealt with this situation and what kind of ideas do you have? It's also useful because if you as a coach are trying to, for example, now move into group coaching or creating programs or something else, you can just ask people, what do you think of this? And get some feedback, and you will know that feedback is really honest, rather than trying to beg some people in some Facebook group to just answer your question, but they don't even know you, you don't know them, and it just doesn't feel genuine.
No.
So
that's an interesting thing, that ability to be able to bounce ideas around. And one of the things that I've become increasingly aware of, I belong to a lot of groups, a lot of Facebook groups, and the majority of coaching Facebook groups, which is what I'm talking about, talk about coaching. They talk about coaching skills. They talk about even the ones that are supposed to be business orientated. They don't. They don't talk about business. They might say, hey, I'm a brand new coach. How do I get clients? And you'll have seven responses, and they're all different. And they're all from people that you have no idea whether or not what they're doing is working. They're just and opinions are like bottoms. Everybody has one. And and one of the things that I've really noticed is different about our community is that we talk about business development first and foremost. Yes, we can talk about coaching, and yes, we can talk about kind of coaching programs, etc. But we each assume, and I think it's based on a pretty sound assumption, we're all qualified coaches, and so what we know is that we're good at the coaching part. So if we say, can you have a look at this program for me? We're not saying it from a point of view of content. We're saying it from a point of view of marketability, really. And that's actually a huge difference, I think.
It is. And also what I noticed is that a lot of the coaches inside our group end up being the ideal clients of other coaches inside the group. So when you ask them, what do you think of this? You know that you will be asking the person who would possibly buy from you. And therefore, that feedback is really important, rather than just asking some random people, so what do you think about this? And we often have conversations, with people who we know, I might be your ideal client. They just ask us questions to understand that client a lot better than they understand it now, for example. Or if they need more input or whatever, that's what we're there to do.
Absolutely. So to round this up, because we've done that thing again of filling our time really well, tell us about you. How can people find you? What is it that you do, and how can we find you?
As you know, I'm a financial coach. I help people rewrite their financial stories. And to great success, I work with young professionals who are unhappy with their money situation, who have the potential and have the desire to change it, but they don't really know how. And that's mostly because they either don't understand the numbers or they're just freaked out about the numbers and they don't want to know more. So that's the main part of my business. But I've also started to work at the request of different people around me with people who have small businesses and they are quite established now in their business. They haven't had time so far to focus on the finances because they were so busy marketing and really getting clients and getting established. Right now, they're at the point where they realize, okay, I might want to get on this bandwagon because I realize now how important it is. But they don't necessarily understand the jargon. They don't really know what a cash flow is and how you're supposed to know that you're doing well financially or not, apart from what's coming in and what's going out. So I work with them to explain a little bit the technical terms, but also to explain why it's so important to use them. And this is where I use my accountancy skills quite a lot. But I also work with them as business owners and their mindset, because they all want to make more money in their business, but they have this threshold that they've set for themselves and they can't really go beyond that. So that's a part of work that I really enjoy, helping them break that threshold and looking at what is it that you need to do practically in order to reach that financial goal.
Fantastic.
And I have not yet. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn. And my profile there is Alisa Barkan, followed by the letter ACCA. And I'm working on bringing my website live. I had to kind of put it on the back burner whilst I was still fully employed because I just had to choose and there were other things that I was pursuing at that time. But now I'm working on that and that's going to be live. And when that happens, it's going to be the savvycorner.com.
Okay, that's actually really a really, really interesting point to pick up on before we disappear. You have all of this without a website, without any branding, without any of that. You've achieved it all with the LinkedIn and the coaching revolution.
Yes, it became very clear to me that what I needed to do was do. It was act rather than think about, oh, what do I want my colors to be and how should this look like? So I just left that on the back burner until I had, a stream of clients that I could rely on and until I knew I could make a living out of this. And now we're going to go to the pretty part and, you know, think about my logo and everything else.
Hallelujah. What you've just said is probably the thing that I find when I talk to coaches who are thinking about joining us, and I can feel that question mark coming down the phone when I, you know, they say, oh, well, yeah, I'm in the process of spending £5,000 on my branding and my website. And I say, you don't need to do that. And there's this like silence, because that's where coaches think they're supposed to start. And they don't have to. You don't have to spend any money on any of that. Everything that you need, the exception of the mentoring, everything you need to generate clients can be found for free. Would you agree?
Yes, I agree. And, you know, it's just a way of believing that that's all you need. And I think that's where the problems come in, because you see so many other people and you see their websites, but you don't know how many years in the making that has been. And you think that as a new coach, you have to do that as well. And that just stretches you out too thin, basically. You don't have time to focus on coaching.
Yeah, it stretches you thin financially as well. And I think we're very good at spending a whole day on our website and feeling like we've done something when actually we haven't done anything, because we are no closer to getting a client. And people have this kind of belief that if they put a website up, you know, build it and they will come. That Field of Dreams 1997 film, which I remember really well. Field of Dreams, this guy says, you know, build it and they will come. And that's not how it works. There are 3 trillion plus URLs now. How is your client going to find yours? Well, the bottom line is they're not in the shop.
And it makes more sense to build their trust on a platform like LinkedIn, for example, so that when you do come up with a website and say, hey, here's my website, you will have a few people who will actually go and visit rather than go, who is this person? I've never heard from them before. I don't care about their website.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, we could, that's like a whole other podcast episode, isn't it?
Yes, there is.
So just to recap what Alisa just said, if you want to find her, you'll find her on LinkedIn, and she is Alisa Barkan, and then the letters A-C-C-A afterwards. Her website, when it is live, will be thesavvycorner.com. So I suppose all that remains is for me to say, once again, thank you very much for your time. And I am looking forward to watching what the next episode of Alisa Barkan, Financial Coach, has to reveal to us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And I'm looking forward to the next episode as well.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to find out more about the business opportunity from the coaching revolution, go to thecoachingrevolution.co.uk and choose business opportunity from the menu. See you next time.